Ben, I want you to do the warm-up that you were telling me with Demi. So Ben, when he teaches improv, he does a warm-up where it's called is it called House of Cards warm-up? Yeah. Where you set up a Frank Underwood line and then your partner has to finish it.
Oh boy.
So give it, so do
you watch House of Cards?
Yeah.
All right. Well then I'll just do a, so I would be like, Senator McConnell thinks that he's the cock of the walk. And then you have to finish it. What's the
like,
turn?
Little does he know,
this is a long walk than he's expected to take. Or something like where it's like, this walk's not...
He's going
to
take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah,
or
that's
something
what I'm
like that. Supreme Court Justice Clancy McDougal thinks that he's the king of the castle.
Little does he know, this drawbridge is going up for the day.
La la la, la la, episode 319. It's Keg Max, Keg Max, Keg Max.
Oh yeah! 21.
Woo! Band.
Kyle was so nice. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com. I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff, and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us for another week. This is... Man, these next two episodes, Jess-wise, it's going to be hard.
Jess-wise?
It's going to be real tough, guys. But before we get to that, we want to give a little stars holla out to a listener who sent us a new cross stitch. Did you see this, Demi?
I did.
Okay, so this is from Jenny. She writes, here's a little something for those moments when you feel like keeping it real. I completely love your show as a longtime Gilly. I am a longtime Gilly, so I was a bit nervous to listen at first, but now I can't imagine life without the Gilmore guys.
Aww.
That's so nice. Oh my gosh. And she made us a cross stitch, and it says Gilmore guys, and then no bit zone under it. It says bit zone, and then it's like the no symbol.
We haven't used bit zone and no bit zone in a while.
I feel like we have.
We flow in and out of it, though. It's not like, by the way, no bit zone, no bit zone.
Yeah. We don't, maybe we don't pronounce it as heavily as we have in the past. So big stars holla out to Jenny. I hope she's not Team Jess, but she probably is, because we're about to, I don't know about you, but we got a lot of thoughts.
Oh, no, I love Jess in this episode. I'm kidding.
Well, let's get into it real quick by introducing our guest right now.
La, 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 la. Special guest.
Demi seems like
he's
waking
up.
No. I was thinking, should I say special Jess or not?
Special Jess. And then you bailed.
Yeah.
Guys, you know this guest from previous episodes of this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ben Seaman.
Said it the real way. pronounced it the right way.
I've always pronounced it
Have
the right
you?
Way.
I guess I remember paying attention to it.
Every time I've said Ben Seaman.
Oh my gosh. It's the third time on the show. How many other guests have been on the show three times?
Trolley and Woodham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a last minute fill in because Lauren Graham canceled, right?
Yeah, Lauren Graham canceled today.
Look, she told us she was going to finally make it.
Yeah.
We've been not saying her name for the last, 60 episodes? Because she's like, no, guys, next week I'll
do
it.
Yeah. Because we didn't want to do, because the Alexis Bledel thing, that was a big joke. But this Lauren Graham thing is super real.
Right.
And so we didn't want to do that. But, Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. I'm excited. This was a good episode.
This is a good episode. Because last time you watched kind of a shitty episode.
It was. And I was, in a sour mood, I think. So
do you feel like, really?
Feel like, not because of you guys, but I just felt like I didn't say anything interesting.
Oh, no.
I left feeling really sad.
Oh, well.
I don't say anything interesting every episode, so it's fine.
Well, let's get...
But now I'm all full of piss and vinegar, and I'm
you
ready.
Notes?
I took notes, because I just wanted to make
hell
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I remembered plot points, basically.
Right. Of course. Yeah, I know, because especially for us, when we watch, two a week, it is easy to get stuff confused with other episodes and so on. So this is episode 319. Keg. Max. You know, on one hand, you have to give it to them, they're not trying to be too clever.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's like a child, if they had to describe what happened in this episode.
They probably let a child name, just what happens? Keg. Max.
Yeah, it's not a pun, right? It's not supposed to be keg stand, and it's keg max. It's just the two big...
If this is a
big...
pun, I'm going to be so embarrassed.
Take this keg to the max.
It's just a real weird title for the show.
I concur. Yeah, it's not like Face Off where we totally missed the point. We said on the episode Face Off, where there's a hockey game the Dean plays, we're like, why is it called Face Off? It doesn't make sense.
Then we realized it's a Nicolas Cage reference.
Did you get a lot of angry tweets? A lot of angry tweets that happened?
Not so much angry as it was just oh, that's adorable.
Actually, it's a hockey term.
Yeah.
And I think the thing, too, is that you claim to have played it for 3 years.
I did. 4 years. Why it's even more embarrassing.
That it was called a face-off.
I don't know. We were middle schoolers. They were not all right, boys, here's the definition of everything.
The theory of everything?
Yes.
Yeah, baby. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is Rory plans to attend prom with Jess. Lane's rock band debuts at a big party where longstanding animosity between Jess and Dean finally explodes.
Good app. Mm-hmm.
Good
episode. Good
description, but a little bit of a spoiler.
A little bit of a spoiler for the explosion at the end. The man explosion.
I felt like this one was just a culmination of all the past lovers and all the past... Mm-hmm. This that was the big theme of the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, they made sure that everyone had a past lover.
So what would you title the episode if you had to title it because of all the past lovers?
I would
lovers?
Call it Lovers and Liars.
Ooh, dang.
You should be in charge of renaming these.
Lovers and Liars. Yeah, we'll text you every time we do an episode. What would Ben title this one? But for now, we'll get into it with a little, oh, God. I genuinely had a cough.
I didn't hear the cough coming. I just heard, oh, God.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay.
A little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a supercut and listen back and see what's happening. So this is episode 319, Keg Max, Pop Goes the Culture.
The Gilmore House is partying like it's 1999.
And here it's at home with the 700 Club.
It was not an illusion, Doug Henning. We kissed.
No, no, but this is where you start paying. In sweat.
What?
Fame, right?
Yeah, Debbie Allen. In sweat. As Lev Tushy said that.
I've made my suggestion.
Yeah, and we vetoed the Harry Potters. Next.
Hello, Cleveland.
Having grad night on a yacht is the worst idea since Neville Chamberlain told the people of England, hey, don't worry about Hitler, he's a stand-up chap.
Tux's are also James Bond. That's not geeky.
He was doing the same thing. You were both James Deaning it, trying to keep it professional.
Yeah, and don't forget that the hair and fingernails on John Entwistle's body were still growing when they brought in his replacement.
Or if the band, which will inevitably be composed of accountants with semi-mullets, decides to do a half-hour tribute to Kenny G.
I was so into Leif Garrett.
Oh, and the part where Gimli the Dwarf is riding his horse, and then Legolas grabs the front straps and swings himself up on top of it. Dude, that was awesome!
Michelle Branch, Matchbox 20.
Jeez.
We were The Clash and Rage Against the Machine and Nirvana combined.
With Lorelai Gilmore, it's Trust, but Verify.
You and Springsteen, the working man's hero.
No, he's not like Springsteen. He'll never be like Springsteen.
I wrote down, we're going to get into Springsteen again. All it takes is the mere mention of the name Springsteen.
And I'm like,
what's this show's obsession with Lord of the Rings? Yes.
Weird, right? I guess because, I mean, this is when, so it's 2003, so this is the year Return of the King.
Yeah.
Two Towers had just come out, Return of the King was going to, so it was like in the middle of Lord of the Rings mania, I guess. So they probably, either Daniel or Amy probably really liked those movies, and because this is like the fourth or fifth time it's come up.
Right.
Maybe third time.
They make a point of mentioning it like extensively every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The special features, so they're definitely familiar with it. They definitely owned it. I didn't know who John Entwistle was off the top of my head.
He is from The
Clash. No.
Sex Pistols. Wow.
There's an easy way to solve
this. You could just Google him right now. You were just on your computer Googling.
Yeah, I thought you were Googling.
But come on, guys. We don't need Google.
Interesting.
We don't need no education. He's from that band. Alice Cooper.
No, he's not. He was in The Who.
Right.
Oh. The Who.
Yeah, I was playing along because you guys were supposed to say, who is John Entwistle? Was going to be like, yeah.
Oh, you know.
No one wants to do that.
Oh, come on. We're not into playing games.
Foolish games? No, thank you. Guys.
What?
Look at all those notes.
I have to take notes on everything.
That's a lot of notes.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Everyone has big opinions. This is a big episode.
It's a big episode. Guys, let's just get in it from a Say Yes to the Jess perspective.
We should have a theme song for Say Yes to the Jess. Not now.
Well, I don't know how much longer we're going to be needing it.
Though. Has someone made a Photoshop Say Yes to the Jess like logo or picture for you guys?
No, but it sounds like Demi's asking for it.
No.
Demi just handed a piece of paper for Ben to read. He was like, please read this. I can't ask it of myself. Demi always loves requesting fan art from our fans.
This is the opposite of a bit.
Free labor. No, but okay. So Jess, he can't graduate. He can't take Rory to the prom, even though he likes tuxedos because they're James Bond.
By the way, that entire exchange of him in the principal's office was so weird. Like, he was just like, what are you doing, man? Come on, give me a break. He's not even really trying to defend himself.
Yeah, it was a weird...
I can catch up. I'm smarter than anyone here.
Is he?
I can catch up.
Because a smart person wouldn't freaking miss 31 days of school.
31 days.
I can't believe that he thought it was close to 20, because he's missed a whole month, right?
Hey, he works at Walmart, not the math department at Caltech. Am I right? Sick burn? No? All right.
If he worked in math, never mind.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Yeah, oh my gosh. Just no to the Jess. I'm saying it right now. No to the Jess in this episode.
Oh, no? You didn't like when he was trying to make moves on Rory at the party?
When he gets real rapey with Rory.
Yeah, it's a weird moment.
Hey, you can say no to the Jess, but he's still going to hear a yes.
Well,
I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I know.
And I know it didn't escalate to the point where it was actually rape, and I know they were kissing blah, blah, blah. What?
I was saying, I'm not getting into the
specifics of what the rape is or not. But you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I'm just saying, I don't want to get into... This is exactly where I don't want to go.
Right.
But
I'm just saying, he put Rory into a position that was scary from a sexual point of view.
It was very uncomfortable to watch.
It was so uncomfortable, especially when it was their first time, and she says wait, and he keeps going wait, and I know she's not saying no.
As someone who has never seen this show before, seeing that was like, oh no, is this about to happen, and then I was like, how could anyone possibly like Jess? And then it kind of got worse in a better way, in the sense that it got worse for Jess, and I was like, I still don't like him a lot, but then, you know, it stopped, and I was still feeling very uncomfortable.
It's awful. It's really awful, and I don't know if we're supposed to feel bad for him, like, oh, poor kid. Like, oh,
he's going through a tough time. No,
he's going through a tough time. People on Twitter are like, but his parents are so bad. His dad treated him so poorly.
I don't care.
And
I don't think he does anything redeemable in this episode. They really don't want you to like him in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the next, probably.
Because he just does it all. He gets in a fight. He almost gets kind of a little rapey, just a little bit.
just a little bit. And then he just says,
Rory, stop. Just stop. I did not invite you up here. You came up here on your own.
Like, you were asking for it, basically.
Basically, that's
like
the context.
Like, you came up here on your own. Like, this
2003
is,
was a very different time.
I am so infuriated by this, and I'm so mad about people who are like, no, but it's hard. It's hard being just like, no, like, I am very worked up about this, and I don't, yeah. No to the Jess. No to the Jess all the way. And
you didn't think his hair was kind of cute?
Oh, he's whatever. I'm getting choked up.
Were getting sick just at the thought of Jess.
Rory, stop! Oh, just stop! Rory, not invite you up here. You came up here on your own.
I love that bass line, though. Doom, doom, doom. It's time for doing it upstairs.
She just came up to see where Jess was. She wasn't like,
yeah.
The context is that when you're looking for your boyfriend upstairs, that means that you want to have sex.
Like, no, it's, oh, gosh.
I just imagine Jess being like, if I hide, maybe we can do it tonight.
Yeah. No.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, then the fact that he was just like pouting in this pink room, this pink bed, like, oh, my life. And
yeah.
He wants to go. And then I think at the party, he states kind of the central problem of the Jess character, or one of them.
I don't want to talk to anybody else. I don't like anybody else.
He literally doesn't like anybody
else. It's a thesis statement, yeah.
It is the thesis statement of the Jess character. And I think some girls might find that charming at a certain age, but not, I mean, because is that a Jacob or an Edward thing? Like, I don't like anyone else but you, spider monkey, or whatever. Like, what's the line? I don't know.
Spider monkey.
Someone called someone spider monkey at some point in that show. Movie.
I mean, I don't know if it is, but I'm sure the whole brooding, like, I'm into you and no one else is a sort of trope that people are into. But with Jess, it's almost, it's a guy trying to play that really hard, and you can kind of tell.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I never feel like, yeah, this is hot.
No, there's nothing good about it. Lorelai's there to support Lane and her band, and he just wants to get out
Rory?
Of there. Rory, not Lorelai. Lorelai.
Well, technically Lorelai.
She's there to, you know, she's there to see Lane, and he's like wants to make her leave just because he's a douche.
Yeah, and I was even shocked by the fact that he was at the rehearsal for them.
Yeah, I was
and
too.
And was like cheering them on, kind of like, oh, yeah, sounds pretty good to
wasn't
me.
That, yeah,
yeah,
not bad.
Not too shabby. That's what he says. Gosh. Oh, and then there's that sick burn at the party when him and Rory were talking to Lindsay and Dean. And Dean says,
I haven't seen you around much. What are you, the attendance monitor?
The attendance monitor.
I love that Dean's reaction to that. It's just like, you know, I'm too mature for this. I'm not going to play this game. Like, I don't like Dean, but for some reason, when he's not with Rory, he's sort of tolerable.
He's palatable.
Yeah.
He's palatable.
He's a good character that is, but not a good boyfriend.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. And I think I find the vibe Jared Padalecki has a little more inherently likable than Milo's vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if that's a character thing or an actor thing. It's hard to tell at this point, but
it's especially clear when they're talking to each other, and it's like Dean's just like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And just like, "What are you? What's what? You're an idiot head, is what?"
My tool t-shirt.
I think even when they try to make Dean unlikable in episodes, that he's still way more likable than Jess. Even when they're trying to make Jess likable,
mm-hmm.
like even Dean being like, "I don't know where you guys are and things," but like.
This is into season 3. So in the next episode, spoiler alert, Dean and Lindsay get engaged, which we'll talk about.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, she's, oh no.
But like, I guess that maybe happens in the future, but when they try to like paint Dean as like, he's not that great, but he still comes off way better than Jess.
Yeah, I mean, especially in this episode. Okay, so then Rory comes downstairs crying from sexual trauma. I mean,
exactly.
That's what it is.
Right.
Jess puts Rory through sexual trauma. She comes downstairs crying. Dean sees it, puts two and two together, and then
what a stand-up guy
clocks Jess in the mouth And I didn't cheer, but I tell you what.
I'm glad you didn't cheer.
That fight scene was shockingly well choreographed.
I was going to say, that was a good fight.
It was very good. Yeah,
it was a good fight.
Is this a Kenny Ortega episode? My boy Kenny?
It is not. It was It was written by Daniel Palladino and directed by Chris Long, not Kenny Ortega.
Well, Chris Long put a little extra effort into this fight scene.
Truly. I mean, Film Crit Hulk, I think he's someone we've mentioned on the podcast before. He's an amazing film writer. But he has cited this fight, I believe it's this fight in this episode, as one of the best choreographed he's ever seen.
Oh,
it felt TV real.
It felt totally real, and it didn't feel like stunt double. No. It felt like that's how those guys would fight.
Exactly. I appreciated that, like, they didn't smash through a coffee table, and like, you watching and there's a big coffee table, and you're like, oh, he's definitely
like the glass
fall.
Movers and the
definitely
Simpsons.
Gonna fall into the coffee
or that,
table.
Like, all of the statues suddenly move to the middle of the room. They're like, no.
Yeah,
it was real.
It was very real. And yeah, I kind of have to give it to Dean for it is inappropriate while he's dating Lindsay to do so.
Well,
that's another thing I really liked about the fight, is that, like, obviously I'm not on Justice's side, but also it seems weird of Dean to start this fight. So really, I'm just like, I don't cheer for
it's
anyone.
Two broken men.
But
yeah.
it's a real, that's how a fight happens.
Two broken little boys.
Two broke boys.
Two broke boys.
Two broke boys on CBS. So that's what happens. And then this is the end of the episode, and then Lane's puking her guts out.
This is one of those episodes. This is like one of the only shows where episodes just end. Like they
do. No, truly,
things just end on this show. Like, it's just a weird moment. I feel like half of the episodes end with someone crying on the porch or in the lawn, and then it just fades to black.
Yeah,
totally.
This is one of those ones where it ends, and you're just so unsatisfied. I mean, you definitely want to see more. But
I was satisfied.
You were satisfied.
It was the first one that really made me want to watch the next one immediately.
Oh, it does a great job of making you want to watch the next episode, but it's just like, it's weird. They don't feel like cliffhangers. They feel more like just like a little fade to black.
It's just like the cliff fell.
Like the cliff.
Like the cliff exploded and there's no cliff anymore.
But every once in a while when the show would end, I would be like, whoa, what?
Right, right.
Someone's just crying in a lawn.
Yeah, like, Richard in his study or...
Sometimes it'll fade, and I'll see Amy Sherman-Palladino, and I'll be like, oh, it's been 40 minutes. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. And yeah, it ends with Jess walking away from a crying Rory.
And the last thing that happens is Lane pukes. That's the thing.
That should have been the cut to black, is like she pukes on the camera. It's like a Quentin Tarantino shot from like inside the trunk.
La, 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 la.
That's the tag for the episode, is Lane puking in a brush.
And then the next episode starts with her like wiping the screen away and being like, oh no.
That would be amazing.
That'd be like a Breaking Bad shot.
Yeah.
How about that phone call to her mom, huh?
Phone call to Mrs.
Whoa.
Kim.
Oh, no.
So Yun Chu is at the party as well to support Lane. Hey, Lane, do you need anything? Do you need water? Blah, blah, blah.
Taking care of chairs the whole time.
Yeah. Babysitting those chairs. Woo.
Saving seats for Lane. Never comes.
Lane is feeling conflicted. Dave is getting jealous probably for the first time. Well, not for the first time because he did run to the hockey rink. But getting jealous. And Lane can't handle the pressure, and so she turns to the bottle, or the keg.
This is a very adult episode. Like, I felt like there were a lot of after-school specials happening about, like, drinking
and sex.
Because
it's not really that kind of show. Like, I feel like other shows might trade in this sort of thing, like, every other week. Like, I think this sort of party would be the equivalent on, like, a One Tree Hill or another kind of like Gossip Girl or some other like high school-y type show. Whereas in this show, it's like the Harvest Festival is in town. The pumpkin ball is here.
All we needed was...
That's the equivalent on this show.
All we needed was Paris to be at the party and be like, hey, Paris, you want some of this weed? Oh, I don't know if I can do that. It's like, come on.
Cool people do.
Harvard people smoke weed.
When you were saying all those festivals, that made me think in the writer's room, they just had like a big wheel where like it had different gourds and then like different events. So like the squash, like
Equinox.
Yeah, you know, squash Equinox, right? All right, guys, we need another...
Sex circus. Oh. American Horse Story.
Well, it's the wheel. What the wheel says is we got to do it.
Miss Patty's definitely had a sex circus.
Totally. As we find out in the next episode. But in this one, I feel like the fact that it doesn't go to those things that much. Mm-hmm. We don't go to parties really ever. I think maybe there's one in season one. But like, it makes it much more effective than it would be. So like, when these things are happening, when Lane gets drunk and Rory gets forced upon by her boyfriend, like, it makes those moments a lot more effective than they would be probably in another show where you would more expect that sort of thing or see it coming.
How did you feel about the portrayal of, I always think that parties and shows are interesting. Like, mm-hmm. they just, like, the people that are involved, like, how long has it been since they've been to a party of this kind?
Right.
So they had, like, the 21-year-olds that were like, beer! Like, and then...
And then they had this out-of-her-mind girl who screamed...
you're gonna...
Yeah, come on! Rock and roll!
Which is like,
rock and roll!
There's nobody real like that. Mm-mm. These are like caricatures of like something in a 60s like...
Yeah.
No one's ever seen a band at a party and been like, when's the band gonna start? I'm here for the band.
None of them are. They're here for the
first
beer.
Gig ever.
Yeah.
And it's like the hardest music to dance to as well. Well, it's not the hardest, but it's difficult. Harder would be like classical music or something. But you could still do it. Anyway, now I'm just thinking about dance.
I really enjoyed the runner of, I don't remember the character's name.
Kyle?
Kyle. Is he the Bracey kid? That was in the party?
He's great. And he becomes a townie from
Alan
here on out.
Alan from Freaks and Geeks. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
I thought it was a great runner that I really enjoyed, that he was being so conservative about the party and dispensing adult etiquette advice.
So funny. Lines like,
all drinks on coasters, please.
Hey, the coasters are there to be used, guys.
I love that it's two of them, too. Do they both live there?
I guess so.
Because I thought it sounded like it was only one person's place, but the other guy was just like, you know what? I'll let Kyle. I'm going to support him here.
Yeah, I think that's the idea.
You drop a chip, you pick it up. It's common courtesy, folks.
I already like Kyle in half of an episode more than I've ever liked Jess.
He squints from The Sandlot.
Is he actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked really familiar, and I couldn't figure out what I'd seen him in.
He's in Freaks and Geeks in The Sandlot.
Oh, man. What's the actor's name?
Alan White?
Tudyk.
No, that's his character in Freaks
and
Geeks.
Kind of looked like someone to me that, like, who was in Are You Afraid of the Dark, but I don't think so. But he's great. He's a great character. I love the runner. It was a great game. It was funny. Yeah. All of them are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like a Daniel Palladino character, I would say. I say that about all the characters, though.
Any character that doesn't want stuff getting broken is a Daniel Palladino character.
Is his name... He is Squints in The Sandlot?
Yeah.
Okay, then his name is Chauncey Leopardi.
Sounds about right.
That's the actor's name?
Oh, yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. Chauncey Leopardi.
What else? What has he been up to?
Wait, where can I see his credits?
What's Chauncey?
Yeah, Kyle on Gilmore Girls. He was in Casper in the 90s. Freaks and Geeks, Walker, Texas Ranger, Seventh Heaven.
He was on Larry Sanders
Show.
Everything.
Yeah. A lot of creds here.
What's his last credit? Is he still acting? Give it up.
His last credit is a movie called Cold Water in 2013.
He was in Cold Water?
I guess so. The one with, we're talking about this one?
With Chauncey Leopardi, yes.
Yeah. The one with Chauncey Leopardi. Yeah.
Chauncey Leopardi's Cold Water.
Yeah. Man, I should look that up. I feel so ill-prepared. But yeah, he's so funny. And he's in a bunch more episodes after this.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I mean, I could remember him a little bit, but he's a great character.
It's just such a great idea of like the polite young man who's like boxing up and bubble wrapping the figurines and the
cabinet. I kind of felt bad for him when it broke.
That last one at the end. That was sad.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get in trouble.
Let's talk about Max.
Oh my gosh.
Max Medeznitz. Back for some reason. So he appeared in two episodes ago. Him and Lorelai kiss in the coat room after Paris's meltdown on C-SPAN.
Right.
For the debate. Because C-SPAN was really interested in the Chilton debate for some reason. And he's back, and I don't quite know why.
Because I think because they really wanted the theme of this episode to be all these, like, all the tension of the past,
the
people that they've been with, the old flames. Because everyone has an old flame or an unrequited love in this episode, pretty much. So they're like, let's just have him come back.
Lorelai was pissing me off, though, in all of her scenes with him. It just seemed very... it seemed unnecessary. Like, even lines where she's like, well, we're going to see each other. It's going to happen. Rory's graduating in like a week.
Yeah.
And he doesn't live in Stars Hollow, so no.
She was like, what if we go meet each other at the drugstore? Like, then so what?
In a way, she was almost like Jess because she kept like approaching him in that room, just kept coming after him, and he was like shoving desks and chairs between the two of them.
I was kind of
like a succubus, yeah. Just ready to like break his heart again.
Yeah. I was very much like Lorelai, give him space, but I was also like, Max, chill out, because he was like throwing chairs like it's a ghost, and it's like, you can't get through chairs, you specter.
Can I tell you guys something I found out about the actor Scott Cohen with a little bit of research?
Wow.
So we talked about this in 205. He said, like, you know, Rory's interviewing him for the school paper, for a feature, for Teacher of the Month or something. And she said,
teacher feature.
Yeah, the teacher feature. Mm. And she says, you know, what would you do if you weren't teaching, if you weren't doing this job? And he says, well, I wanted to be a clown. I wanted to be a rodeo clown. Here's what I found out. Mr. Scott Cohen was a rodeo clown. Actor who played Max Medina. And he did come from the world of clowning. He talked about one show he did. I found this interview with him. And this is the quote. I was a very dark tramp clown. Very political. I'll never forget it. My act was right before intermission of some show, I forget. And I did a whole shtick in rhyme about nuclear power. So just imagine Max Medina in a clown outfit doing rhyming couplets about nukes. And yeah, just have a field day with that.
I also imagine he's at a rodeo while he's doing this. So he's like, the crowd's just like, we don't care. Get hit by the bull again.
Oh, man. I love all the stuff with Hap Alien in this episode.
Oh, you mean...
Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they haven't been named
that was really
yet
funny.
This quite so much. What, the Harry Potter's was one of the...
Follow them to the edge of the world.
Follow them to the edge of the earth or to the world.
It's kind of a cool name. Yeah. It's just too long.
Follow them to the edge of the desert is the name.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
See, cool edge name of the desert would have been kind of cool if it's just... part of that name.
Right. So for the Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
Jennifer Lentz asked, I know Hep Alien is a fan fave name, and it's cute that it's an anagram of Helen's name, but let's be real, it's lame. Follow Them to the Edge of the Desert is a better name, but it's a little hipstery. What are some better band name suggestions? Lame Lane and the Wii? Eighth Day Adventist? Pocket Full of Bulwarks?
There's one that's presented in the next episode that I really like, which would be Rave Shikowski. When she's like, maybe your mom heard this on the phone.
Rave Shikowski.
Rave Shikowski.
That'd be good. Yeah. I like Pocket Full of Bulwarks.
Yeah.
Or I like...
even just the Bulwarks.
I like the Totallys. I think that's a good name.
The Totallys? That's a good one.
Totally. I've never heard that for a band name.
Mm-mm. Ben? Want to start a band?
We need
a band.
Play?
The Totallys?
Do you play instruments?
I don't play anything. I can sing. And Demi has a great bass.
I do.
Guitar?
Did you ever... No, just voice. Okay. Did you ever sing? And can you sing?
No and no.
Yeah, you can. We could play...
What?
What are you talking about? Megan Amron wants to do an all musical episode of this podcast where we sing the whole time.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Can we do it? Can we do it?
I think we can, yeah. What do you think?
I think you can, yeah.
What do you think?
I also think we can.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we're singing half of the time anyway, so it's not that much of a stretch. Oh, Emily Sutherland writes, I'm skipping all around. It's fine. No real question. Just wanted to say my husband loves the episode because problems are finally solved with violence instead of random, long, quippy dialogue.
This is a very dude episode
right,
of the show.
That never really gets to the point. He sees teenage boys fighting about a girl much more realistic than the dialogue teenage boys usually have in this show. And there is something kind of cathartic about it because after... You know what I mean? Like, after so much, like, clever, and then just, like, punches.
I like that it comes after they've broken up, though. Like, when he sees the conflict arise, and Dean's just like, I'm not dealing with this, I'm out. But then when someone's getting hurt, he's like, okay, fine, I'm going to punch you.
And how much of an a-hole is Jess for taste-shaming Lindsay?
Yeah. Oh.
Just like calm down.
Just so mean.
She's like, Jesus Christ.
Because Lindsay, I know she was a little bit uppity and some of the previous episodes.
Not to Jess.
But not to Jess. Like, if anything, Jess should be like, oh, thanks for getting Dean off the table, off the radar.
He shouldn't care. What is his taste in music that he's like, Michelle Branch?
Exactly.
It's the Ramones doing What a Wonderful World.
Oh, yeah.
I got upset because I really like Michelle Branch, so I took it as a dig. She comes from Sedona, Arizona. I'm from
Arizona.
Does
she actually?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a rhyming town.
I like Sedona, Arizona. I like Michelle Branch, and I took offense when Jess was so rude to her.
Oh, hell yeah, Michelle Branch.
And I liked that Rory was trying to be nice and sweet, and she was kind of like, ah, I like those too. I like all kinds of music.
I know. Rory was really extending the branch.
She was being so sweet. I wish Jess had been like, really? You do? Jesus Christ. Just like really leaning into it.
I mean, he treats her like dirt. He treats
he
her like
do
dirt.
One thing
well,
that's
you got to water dirt.
Not one thing that's nice in this episode. Not no. one good thing.
I love that random guy who gets involved in the fight. He's like trying to hold them back at one point, but he also like it seems like he's trying to like be like, I want to be part of the fight too.
I wish it was Jackson.
Like Jackson just
my turnips, or I don't know when he gets hit.
Do you guys feel like Stars Hollow is kind of like a big? Well, you've talked about this before. There's something really creepy about the town. Like when the like gossip shit spreads super fast, right? When Rory's dad comes to town, everyone knows about it within 5 seconds. I felt it was weird that the police arrived within like 30 seconds of
the
this fight start.
Must have just been like,
because this is
there.
The only crime they've had in like 3 months. So it was like, property damage.
The fight started as soon as it went outside, the cops were there pulling up.
Well, I would assume there's probably a noise complaint before.
I think they're just always watching everywhere.
I want to believe that someone called the cops the second Rory went into that bedroom, just like, I think there's about to be sex happening here. And they're like, we'll be right there, man.
Oh, man. Aaron Eversole asked us, can there be a hashtag Team Kyle? He's the best and only gets better.
Wow.
I'd be
Is Kyle lobbying to be a boyfriend?
No, he's not.
Well, then.
Should have been. Should have been Team Kyle.
Should have been Team Kyle with them. Oh, Denise Edwards asked, it would have been great to have a shot of Mrs. Kim listening to Drunk Lane.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
They had some budget constraints for this episode.
What would it even be? Just her, like, listening to... Well, it wouldn't be a voicemail. But, yeah, just her in, like, a dark room, and maybe she drops the phone at one point. It's really slow-mo.
Or what if it's, like, super sad, and she's just, like, listening, and tears are streaming down her face
That would have been touching. It would have made it would have made it a little more powerful, I think, if you could see her. But they didn't want to pay her. They want to pay Emily at the beginning of the episode, because only Richard is on the other line when they're having a party, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they were like,
but well, then, wait, isn't Emily in this episode? Is it the next one?
It's the next episode.
The
Not
next
in
episode.
This one.
Okay.
They were like saving her $10,000 or whatever she gets.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah,
let's speculate to what everyone made on this show right now.
I want to say $100,000 an episode for Lorelai.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Actually, don't we actually know, wasn't there someone who was the accountant to Lauren Graham?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to get back to us
Let's
on that.
Let's just ask them.
Yep. We'll get to that. Okay, so Devil's Advocate, literally the Devil's Advocate, Elizabeth Hunt says, not Jess's finest moment, but...
She's being honest.
Is that advocating for him?
I am and will forever be Team Jess.
Wow.
Just saying.
Saying that on this episode.
Yeah, and this is for the
Jess, and
unless we find out that Jess has secretly like being controlled by someone else, or is like
he's a Cylon,
like Dean is actually Jess, and like they reveal like we've switched
places.
It was places.
Actually me.
It's so interesting. I feel like Jess and Dean is kind of like Republicans and Democrats, and that like. Like, you can't ever convince a Republican to be a Democrat, and you can never make a Democrat be a Republican.
But you can vote third party. You can just be like, I don't like either of these choices.
Kyle. Kyle's the third
party
candidate. You can
vote Kyle.
Kyle will never get a chance.
He's a libertarian. He's very sensible. He wants to take care of everybody, but there's rules.
I would vote for Kyle if he ran. Hey, guys, just, you know...
Kyle for president.
I want to run a clean campaign, so if we could all just, like, have fun, but not make too much trouble, like an RA or something.
Hashtag Kyle 2016.
Kyle 2016,
drop
baby.
Your taxes. pick it up. It's common it's courtesy, common people. Courtesy.
If everyone just followed Kai's rules, everyone would be okay.
For real.
Yeah, come on! Yeah. Rock and roll!
Rock and roll!
The benefits are there to be used, people.
I have so...
I feel like she slipped through a wormhole from an 80s movie and ended up in, like, in that
I have
part.
So many questions about her. Just, like, about her life. Who does she know at the party?
No one!
Does she... Oh, how
she's
old
like,
is
I saw
she?
There was a band. I saw you guys loading in, and she, I like music.
She's like 34 years old.
Do you wish there had been a little bit more of their band and an actual song? Like, they were just pretty lazy about it. You just hear the very beginning of the White Stripes, and then you hear the very end of a song, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
and then it
feel like
it
I got a good amount of it, because I often get impatient with TV shows that show me too much music.
Sure.
So, like, when they go to the Bronze on Buffy, and it's just one song for 5 minutes, or that's maybe a bad example, but other TV shows where they have an artist on, and they just show their song
yeah,
for
15 minutes on the... Well, that was part of the show, is they were featuring artists, right? Up-and-coming artists.
Right,
show,
but
right?
I don't... I'll go to iTunes or Spotify if I want that.
In 2003?
I came here for the fast talking. Yes, I remember in 2003. I think that's when I first downloaded iTunes. I remember it like it was yesterday. Hey, Mom. I think I'm going to download iTunes for the first time.
No son of mine's going to be on the computer.
Oh, wow. Your mom had a deep voice.
You're right. I guess I'll start a podcast about Gilmore Girls one day to make you guys love me somehow.
You better.
Oh, wow. Your mom didn't even ask what a podcast was at the time either.
Well, yeah, because I had downloaded them through iTunes for the first time. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Oh, man. A good Dave episode. Okay, so they played the White Stripes. What was the other song they played?
I think it was supposed to be in a... Oh, was it?
Yeah, White Riot.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
They were both songs that it's like, the lyrics of this are easy and all the instruments are easy, mm-hmm. so play them for real.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
What I found out was that John Cabrera, Brian, doesn't actually play the bass.
Whoa.
So he's kind of miming it, or he did a couple of times. This comes from the companion book that I got the other day.
Wow.
That has like all these interviews with him where they talk about. So some fun facts about Hepe Alien, and I'm surprised we actually didn't get into it on her episode. But Helen Pye, anytime Hepe Alien was featured in an episode, she would rehearse the band. They would like rent a studio.
Really?
And they would like rehearse whatever song they were going to do.
I'm not surprised.
Wow.
And they would go through it. But the bass is actually being played by Dave Rogowski in real life, Helen Pye's husband.
No way.
And John Cabrera is like syncing with it, to the best of my understanding. So he's actually playing the bass. Todd Lowe is playing the guitar. Keiko's playing the drums. I believe Adam Brody is playing the guitar.
I wonder why they didn't just teach him bass, though.
I don't know.
Because I feel like these two songs, it's really just like two notes back and forth.
But I mean, maybe that was in the beginning. I don't know.
Maybe.
And whenever Sookie is cooking on the show, she was
Sookie?
Actually not Sookie.
They're doing that thing. Whenever she's cooking on the show,
Sookie
doing...
is on True Blood. Sookie.
Okay. As is Todd Lowe. Zach.
Everyone from the show is on True Blood.
What is he on True Blood? I've never watched it.
I'm not sure. I haven't watched it for. I mean, it ended last year, right?
It'd be cool if he was just the same character.
My name is Gregory Blood.
Truly, truly, I say to you.
I like to imagine that whenever Sookie is cooking, that they do the thing where, like, you know how they put hands in a like behind and like you know those gifts where yes. it's like the dog is cooking or whatever.
Yeah,
it's that.
Or that hilarious game on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
I think...
so funny.
The big thing we haven't talked about this episode is that half the town is unemployed because of the fire at the inn. They have to lay off all the kitchen workers.
Oh,
right?
Well, they
yeah.
all got backup jobs.
Maybe.
It's a weird other inn in town.
I mean, it's such a small point, but I thought it was a weird plot point that they're just like, we have to let all these people go until the kitchen's working again.
But how many people actually work there? Like, it's really just the kitchen and then Michelle.
Well, in that one scene where they all said no to Lorelai about to eat the crappy food.
It was like 50.
It was
people.
Like 50. But I would say realistically, how many people work in the kitchen or the inn total?
Yeah.
Less than 30.
I'd guess like 20.
Yeah, for a small inn like that, less, yeah, yeah. around 20 to 30. Did you like how Michelle loves chow puppies, even though he's murdered one before?
Yes.
A puppy.
He murdered one before?
They it's heavily alluded suggested. To. Yeah.
Is in an earlier episode, like someone has a dog and he's like over it or irritated
yeah.
by it?
So he's like, let's just say,
he's
like, kid.
His, or whatever. His neighbor had a puppy. It's like, that puppy wouldn't stop barking all the hours of the night. And then 2 days later, it disappeared.
Yeah, his game was stupid. I didn't like it. The puppy game was dumb. The party. The
chow chow and wee wee or whatever they were.
The only part I liked is when a guest came up to the counter and he's just like, have you ever seen chow puppies? They're so cute.
Did you like Lorelai's scene with Nicole and Luke in the inn?
No.
It was awful, wasn't it?
I was like, just leave.
Leave. It's really simple.
Get out of there.
Leave.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what she was going for.
Yeah.
If it was supposed to be a comedy bit where she's like oblivious and it's like, oh no, I'm ruining your good time, whoopsie doopsie. Or if there was like something underneath it.
Do you think, was it the beginning when they're letting all those employees go? Do you think it was only to explain why she would go into that room to be turning it down? Like, she didn't seem to know that Luke was going to be there. Or her was going to be there.
Mm-hmm. I think that is the only reason.
And my question is, like, turned down for what, you know? You know?
I don't know.
I hope someone makes a meme. Someone please make a meme of her turning down the room and then...
For what?
Yeah, for what? Turn down for what?
But it was such a weird energy. It was an enjoyable thing to watch.
It's always uncomfortable when Lorelai's talking at normal speed and not saying anything clever and still, like, trying to interact with someone who's just, like... Like, they're on her level. Like it's Luke.
Okay, bye.
Right.
Can't even light a log bag.
Oh, we usually have a person that lights these for us.
I was watching that, and I was like, that's a weird plot point. Like, just she can't light a log bag.
Yeah.
But then I was like, they're also on a set, and they probably don't want to light anything on fire right now.
Why even have the chimney? They had to build the set.
They had to build that set for that weird log bag segment.
Did you like how when Suki and Lorelai are walking through town, that she talks about Max and she's talking about with Max or Suki, like, I don't know how I feel. And technically, I'm still dating Alex.
Oh, my God.
Like, they gave the most perfunctory of lip service to the Alex storyline.
Right.
Do you even remember Alex?
I don't even remember him at all. Who was Alex?
Alex is Billy Burke.
I was going to say Billy Bragg. I'm glad you said him.
Billy Bragg. Billy Jean.
And how many episodes was he in? One?
Three.
Two.
I think he was in three.
Two. Three, yes. Because there's the one where he's introduced, the one where they go to coffee.
So forgettable, we don't even know. And we just watched him this last month. But yeah, he was like, he went fishing with Lorelai and she had to learn how to fish.
Oh, I kind of remember.
Yeah.
But not enough.
Lorelai, out of water.
If I don't remember, is that what the episode was called? Yes.
It was called Lorelai Out of It was a boo. It was a big boo.
No, see, lovers and liars.
I'll tell
exactly.
You that much.
It should have been Lorelai... called something fishy or something like that.
Something smells like fish.
Alex. Alex.
They just
fish.
Start to get really vulgar with sexual with their episode titles.
Jackson did it all for the Suki.
This one would have been called Kegs and Kegels.
Kegs and Kegels.
And then, Kegs and Kegels. Wow. Well, maybe something about puppies, like, is there something?
Chow down.
Chow down, oh yeah.
Or you better say yes to the Jess.
Oh, no.
Or I guess it doesn't matter. I'm not making fun of rape or anything like that.
We should put a trigger warning at the beginning.
I just want to emphasize that he sexually... kind of assaulted Rory.
No, this is a controversial episode. There's no way. That's what you're supposed to feel, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're just supposed to be really upset
Rory,
about it.
Stop, Rory! Well, let me find the soundboard. His whininess is just get on my last.
Rory, stop! Just stop! I did not invite you up here. You came up here on your own.
I can't take it seriously with the bass line.
Again, whenever a woman goes upstairs to look for a boyfriend, she should expect to have sex with him.
Hey, where are you going?
In someone else's bedroom.
Hey, where are you going? Oh, I'm just going to go find my boyfriend.
Oh, no. All right.
I see how it is.
At a party? That means you're going to have sex.
I like to imagine that any situation of hide and seek is like, oh, you found me. Looks like it's time.
Pound town time.
I felt really weird when she goes downstairs and she runs into Dean's like, what's wrong? It's like, nothing. Nothing's wrong. Then Jess comes down and just goes, figures. What do you mean figures? A woman just ran out of here, like, crying, and on the way...
It's not like even they're, like, holding each other or hugging or
they're
being
just
weird.
Standing next to each other, and he's just like, ugh, every time with this Dean guy. Oh, brother.
Gosh.
Every time I do something awful to you.
Were you the attendance monitor?
He should have just told her that he got kicked out of school instead.
It's real simple, actually.
There's this ruse going on that they're still going to prom. He should have just told his feelings, and then none of this would have happened.
But his pride is so sensitive that he literally can't deal with reality.
Exactly. And I know when most people get kicked out of school, the next thing they do is sexually molest their girlfriends in a strange bedroom.
I mean, it is a direct reaction to that. Like,
it
that's
is.
What the story
He's acting
is.
Out.
He's acting
out
because... But, I mean, he's been given chance after chance. It's something he's done to himself. I don't buy on any level. Anyway,
that
I've spoken my piece about him.
I know this
I like
he
him.
Said at the beginning. He hates Jess. And
yeah.
So that
oh, yeah.
Of, he hates him so much.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the
Not
the
even trying.
Scene, he's like, I won't miss this place. And he's like, me neither, or whatever. Like, we won't miss you. What did he say?
Yeah, something real, like, just...
Right back at you, son of a bitch.
I just remember where he's got... Principals always have folders of papers.
That's how you know they're a principal.
Right. But he's just, like, closing the folder, and he's like, look, Jess, I'm sorry. You're going to have to come back for a full year. And he just, like, he won't help him at all. He's like, sorry.
Good. He tried.
No, I'm just saying, like, in this scene, the principal could not try less.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But at that point, he had sent him 9 warning letters.
Yeah. Man.
He's also very angry about it. It's like, oh, were the 9 warnings not enough? Fucking
just means that they had to edit out all the cursing.
Yeah. They're a step away from just being like, I will kill you, Jess Marion. Just out of frame, there's a dartboard with his face on.
Maybe we would understand that Jess doesn't know how to read, and that's why he doesn't know about these 9
But no,
letters.
He does know how to read, because he reads so many books, and Rory's into books, too. And
as a matter of fact, the only word he doesn't know how to read is no.
Oh, that, like, gosh, kind of makes sense. No, that's great.
Woo! I mean, I mean, I don't know what else to say about this. Like, women out there, girls out there, I plead with you.
How can you
say no to the Jess?
Be a Republican, and how can you be pro Jess? That's how I
That's true.
How can you be both of those things?
I bet Jess also is just like, abortion? Come on.
Figures.
Figures. You want to give welfare to the poor? Oh, this is a Tumblr right here.
Oh, my fellow Americans.
Jess the Republican.
Why? Or no, that's Dean. Whoops.
But breastfeeding in public is a very...
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why do you guys think that Paris hates the yacht prom idea so much?
I wanted her in more stuff, by the way. I wanted her at the party.
The reaction...
She should have totally been at the party.
Yeah.
The reaction they had to her coming into the scene was opposite of mine.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's what made you like her all the more, is like those old dumb ladies who all aged like 15 years since the last time we saw the Booster Club or whatever, or the PTA.
By the way, I love that her... the only reason that Lorelai gets involved with the Booster Club is, like, she's worried they'll withhold her diploma.
Yeah, there's, like, a threat.
Yeah, no, they won't.
Those women were... there was that weird moment where that guy doesn't come to the second meeting because they were so mean to him in the first meeting, and then one of the women is like, I like getting rid of the bobs.
Yeah.
Like, she is,
like
when
we
evil.
Get rid of the dugs.
The dugs. Yes, she's an evil succubus.
Succubus.
Also, I like how they didn't care about the missing money from the cash box.
They're like, no, all right, cool.
I felt like they needed to make a Gilligan's Island joke because it was going to be a 3-hour boat ride, and they didn't make it, and I was upset.
Yeah, that seems like a real alley-oop.
I would love to see the Gilligan's Island where an entire prom just, like, crashes onto the island.
That'd be amazing.
It's like, oh, okay, I guess we've got enough material for another 4 seasons.
That'd be better than Lost. Another 4 seasons. Yeah.
No, but the Paris stuff.
Yeah.
It was just too little.
Too
but
low.
Also, she was too right. Late. Everything she said, I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to be stuck on a boat.
She did her research. Yeah. I went to homecoming on a boat one time.
Did
really?
You?
Mm-hmm.
Did you agree with what Paris said? Did it all come true?
No. Yeah, I'm dead now. it was a different time. I was young. I was like 14. Yeah.
Was it fun?
It was all right. It was a homeschool prom.
Anyone? Wait. Oh, so you went
Moving
on a carnival
on.
Cruise.
So Max is crazy, right?
Max be wild.
No, he wasn't. No, it wasn't. What was it? It was like a homecoming. It was a boat homecoming. I have fuzzy memories of it.
Was it like Overboard with Goldie Hawn?
All I remember is I went up to this one room and my girlfriend was sulking in there. And
oh, no.
She was like, let's go.
You went to go look for, so you guys were going to have sex, right?
You leave her alone, Kevin.
Rory, stop, Mom!
So your girlfriend molested you on a bed.
Part of me feels like this is like a backwards, like, Amish ritual. It's like, I've hidden my daughter in one of these 40 rooms. If you find her, she is yours to wed.
I wouldn't be opposed. Anything else? Oh, we haven't even gotten to the fashion report.
Fashion.
Lorelai's wearing a shirt that just says "Lover" on it in that gross, like Juicy Couture font.
It's like the old English font.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
Nope.
Lovers and Liars, better title, guys.
Oh, and that would have been that would have been such a good tie-in too. Lindsay at the party, Dean's girlfriend, looks like she's dressed. She looks like a 7-year-old girl.
She looks like
it's just pink and
Katherine Heigl.
Oh yeah, kind of. I see that. Ariel Cabell, I believe is her name.
It's like Kebble.
Is it Kebble?
It's that spelling.
Kibbles and Bits.
Kebbles and Bets.
We should try to have her on the show. I like Jess's outfit at the party, actually. I like the jean jacket. Go figure. And the hoodie. I think that's what he was wearing. There was that one scene where Lorelai was in pink with a newsboy's cap.
Oh my God. She looks like Chubbs from Happy Gilmore.
It was awful.
It was so bad.
Suki wasn't doing herself any favors either.
What was with like the yarn sort of.
Yeah, it was all bad.
It was forgivable compared to Lorelai's, though, because it was like, she was like fuzzy.
Lorelai's was aggressively ugly.
I would, if they'd just been like, yeah, I'm going to golf later, I'd be like, oh, okay.
And then, and Suki is wearing this this shirt in the first scene that was so long. In comparison to her, she was also wearing a jean jacket. It just kind of looked oblong. I don't know. Looked weird to me.
Wow. Did you guys start talking about fashion? I feel like you didn't talk about...
Really?
We talked about your episode.
I don't know if you talked about it in either of the ones I've done.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely didn't have a little theme song that you did when you talked about...
We're fashionable men.
Listen.
I know you guys are both wearing tuxedos right now.
Look at us.
Well, of course, we take them off for the photos.
We're fancy boys.
Yep. You have a cane with a little crystal skull on the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like the Mr. Peanut of podcasters.
And your cane has a little at midnight symbol on the top.
Points.
Rep it everywhere I go.
Points to you, am I right?
I point to people.
Oh, look at the at midnight. I'm Chris Hardwick.
Oh, is he asleep every time?
Yeah,
it's 11:59. Oh, I just woke up.
He probably is asleep. He works a lot.
Oh, true.
He does work a lot.
Yeah, he's our working man. Is that it for fashion or
Zach? So during the rehearsal, Zach's shirt looks like a costume from The Big Lebowski, and then at the party, Brian's shirt looks like a costume from The Big Lebowski.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it for the fashion report.
Fashion.
I don't think we have anywhere you feed our swallows, do we? That's where we talk about all the food they eat.
Oh. Well, Brian had heartburn from eating oranges, right?
Yeah, dude, you gotta monitor your citrus intake.
How many oranges does he eat?
Seven.
I thought that was gonna set up that he couldn't play and then someone else was gonna have to play in a spot and nothing happened there.
That's what I assumed.
And then Jess is like, this is my time.
Yeah,
to
Jess
shine.
Was gonna have to do it.
Yeah. Yun Chu. Poor Yun Chu.
Poor Yun Chu, but also
what?
Poor Young Chu, but also, like, chill out. Chill out, Young
also,
Chu.
Also, calm down.
Wouldn't it have been kind of amazing, oh my gosh, if Brian has heartburn because of the citrus, and so Young Chu, is that how you did it?
Yeah.
Young Chu has to jump in, because he's just like, I can play, or whatever.
I play bass at the church.
He kills it, and then Adam Brody gets even more jealous, right?
That would have been great.
Whoa.
Oh, we need to remix this episode.
Lovers and Liars. Did you say remix it?
Yeah, we need to remix it.
Look at the remix.
That would have been so good.
That would be funny to take, like, as a pro. I don't know if anyone's ever done this, but, like, do a rewrite project where you take every episode of a TV show or something and rewrite it the way you wish it would have gone.
Why don't we do that? No, I'm kidding.
We could.
That's just called fan fiction, actually.
We could do... Well, I'm thinking at some point this podcast will be over. That point is
never.
Next year. No, nope. It'll be over next year, probably. Nope. Well, at least the two a week will be over next year, right?
Yes, unless the Earth crashes into the sun.
Or unless there's a Gilmore Girls season 8 on Netflix or another streaming provider is acceptable.
Coach came
trending.
Back.
Yeah.
Coach came back. If Coach can
if
come
Coach
back.
If Coach can come back. See, this is what I say. There's actually a reason for Gilmore Girls to come back. There's no reason for Coach or X-Files or really Twin Peaks to come back.
Rory has a kid. Now, because Rory could have a kid now.
She's the same age that Lorelai was when the show started.
And Lorelai would be the grandma.
Yeah.
And it would start with Rory getting, like, she would be, yeah, she would have a kid. That would be amazing.
And obviously, we got to have cameos. Like, I'll deliver the mail, whatever.
Oh, that would be, if we had cameos in season 8 of Gilmore Girls.
Here's your package, Lorelai. All right.
I'm just wearing sunglasses. No, Maury's doing that. What would I do? What would my role be? I could be Taylor's new bag boy. And like when I'm getting all their gross food for them, I'm like, would you like a gluten-free option, my lady?
Yeah.
And then they just punch me in the nose.
You get, maybe you get punched every episode, and that'd be a fun runner.
That'd be fun. Not again.
Just kind of like canny. And
like eventually it's just by accident. So you're like, no, watch your hands, watch your hands. Oh.
And then I look to the camera and go, it's a living.
Getting punched.
So the writers of the Flintstones are writing mm-hmm. the show?
Yes.
Yeah, well, because Amy and Dan, yeah.
And
they like
to
collaborate.
You be, Demi, on the show?
I'm the mailman, but sometimes
you're
I show.
You're Paris's husband.
Ooh, yeah, that
I'm
would
Paris's
be good.
Husband, okay? Yes. And I'm just like, she's like, she hates me and she can't fucking stand me. But she talks down to me. I'm like, yes, Paris. You're so great. I love you. Where are we going today? No, you don't want to hang out? That's fine. Whatever. I'll just be here.
You're the best.
Do you want dinner tonight? I'll make it. It's cool. You totally should have gone to Harvard. I'm just saying.
This would be a good show. Like, would Paris and Rory's children be friends?
No.
They'd be frenemies. That's the fun word. Frenemies. Have you guys heard of that?
I'm very worried if they did bring back Gilmore Girls, it would be more the tone of, like, a Degrassi-style show where it's like, high drama. It's the kids now. So what is this generation like?
I'm saying just bring it back for like 6-8 episodes yeah. tops.
Do an X-Files. Hot American Summer.
Do yeah. an X-Files thing.
Do an X-Files. It's so the. I mean, I don't
who
know
who we got to talk to.
Who we got to talk to? I mean, we're gonna talk to, you know, hopefully, a lot of people
right.
about it. But and the fact that they're all willing to be in the same room again means like, you know, at ATX.
If only they could be in the same room for maybe a month or so.
You're gonna go, right?
Where I'm going.
You're
for
going.
Sure.
I will try.
Who knows?
What'd you say?
Wait, should I announce on the show? I already bought the plane ticket.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Well then.
You're going. Demi's flakier than a chicken pot pie at Marie Callender, so
nice
he might
chicken.
Not be there.
That's a pretty big
No, you're not flaky, but
I was gonna say that's a pretty big ad drop for
Marie Callender.
Are you sponsored by Marie Callender?
No.
No, I think I'll go.
Right.
But I think you guys could, like, bow finger it, right? Like, you could, like, just film them a whole bunch there and, like, maybe
edit
together a new episode, try to get them to say
bow
things.
Bow finger it.
Yeah. It's a verb now.
We will introduce ourselves as, like, oh, hey, my name's Jess, and he's Dean. And, like, we'll just record any conversation we have and then edit together so it sounds like mm-hmm. they're talking to Jess. Yeah. I like that.
I get used to that.
Yeah. Just release them on Vine. Like, they don't have to be 6 seconds long. Right. They don't have to make sense.
The theme song's going to be really quick.
You have more followers on Vine than Lauren Graham does.
Is she on Vine?
No.
Well, so that
I'm
explains
right.
it. So you also do.
That's true.
Yeah.
I hate Lauren Graham's Vines. They're just all puns.
Lauren
Something's
Graham.
Fishy about this place.
And then she points to her
yeah,
cooch.
She yeah, she points to her cooch. Yeah, we get it. That's the second fish-related pun that you made
about a vagina specifically.
I gross myself out with that. I might cut that out.
Nah.
People say we never cut anything out, but I cut so much
really?
Out.
Really?
Yeah.
I can never tell if you do.
Well, that's the idea, is that you can't.
It's not like, so today's episode, la, la, la.
Yeah, like, I don't know if people want it to be more obvious, but I guess because we leave in certain things where it's like, I might cut that out.
Interesting.
But I just decide not to. But there's anywhere between 3 and 5 minutes of every episode.
I think it's funny when we say we're going to cut something out, and then it's still in there.
Yeah.
So you just cut out objectionable content.
No, sometimes I'll cut out when Demi hits his mic, or when he coughs into the mic, or...
or when we go on a rant about Nazi stuff.
Yeah, when I get my pro-ISIS rant going, or when one of our guests says the N-word on accident. Or,
it's happened a few times.
Yeah, I mean, Megan Amram's
was... Oh, man, she is a monster.
She's a baby. She doesn't know which words are bad yet.
Right, so she probably thought... She was probably just talking about Winnie the Pooh and got mixed up. Oh, bother. I ain't saying he's a gold digger.
Oh, no. This episode is going to be a lot of stuff that should have been cut out.
Uh-oh.
That's my cousin Rick. He just turned 21. Pretty awesome.
21!
21!
He just kept screaming that.
That actor looked like he was like 40 years old.
Oh, he probably was.
I thought it was James Marsden at first.
We didn't talk about Suki putting her hand on Luke's sweet little butt.
And all the butt talk?
There was a lot of butt talk. A
lot of butt stuff in this episode. A lot of butt stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know the next time they refer to Luke's butt. So it's not really a runner that I know of.
What a shame, because it's a nice butt.
Yeah, and I cannot lie. Any other stray observations or things we want to get into?
Do you have any notes?
Something about Max. This is definitively the last time we see Max.
Good.
He's gone forever. You're not really feeling it.
He's murdered or
he's
something.
He's just so...
I like the actor, but there's nothing... He doesn't bring anything. There's no new dynamics that are interesting to watch with Max.
Them bringing him back was not... Like, didn't get closure to Max, eventually I became okay with it, and then they brought him back, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, and in this one, he does say, like, you know, you were fine with it, I was fine with it, talking about not getting married. Mm. So I guess there was a conversation, because we always talk about, did she just leave and never call? Like, what was the chain of events?
What if there wasn't a conversation? He was just like, okay. I could see him just being like, yeah, yes, we're not getting married.
You didn't love me.
Yeah.
We're not in love.
There was that weird moment when after they had played the band and the two of them, I don't know the names of all the people in the band.
There's Zach, Brian, Keiko, Lane, and
Dave.
And Adam Brody.
Zach and Brian. Mm-hmm. And is Zach the.
Zach's the lead singer.
Zach's the lead singer.
Not cool, man. He's that
Zach
guy.
Was the one that was like, oh, that was great, but you got really close to my face when we were singing. Mm-hmm. It was just a little bit of homophobia there for a second.
There was another homophobic line, right? There was one.
It's just like, don't get your face next to mine.
There was a kind of homophobic line in the...
when Jess is like, hey, I don't like gay people.
You're going to vote... Thought that was gay a little... marriage? Jesus Christ.
Of course.
No, I think Max made a joke about kissing some dude.
Oh, yeah, about Doug or something.
Kissing like. Doug?
Kissing
Doug was the best out of all of them.
I thought that was pro-gay marriage.
Oh.
Yeah, Max is definitely pro-gay marriage where...
And this
Max is the Democrat and Jess the Republican.
This has been our segment... Is this homophobic?
is this homophobic?
That would be a good segment.
I feel because it comes up so much.
Is this homophobic?
I like when they start fighting and they burst into the room where Zach is and he just goes, bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's or, why everyone from that party is from the 80s. It's from like an 80s teen movie.
A little bit.
Dazed and Confused.
It was definitely written by people from that generation. And I did like when... Dave gets slammed into Yunchu, and he's like, get off me.
Yeah. I was thinking they were going to fight. I would have loved to see them fight, too.
I want to know a lot about this fight scene, because it was very well done. Yeah.
Good fight.
Because sometimes, like...
Good punching, boys.
Like, on Buffy, all those fight scenes suck.
Terrible.
They're all bad.
They always smash through stuff, too, and, like, you could tell that it wasn't Sarah Michelle Gellar a lot of the time.
They didn't even pretend. No. Like, it would always go to an up angle. And you could, the stunt doubles had different shaped bodies than the actors, than David Boreanaz and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
But anyway. I like to imagine they were just like, hey, Jess, Dean called you an idiot. Hey, Dean, Jess hates your clothes. Roll the cameras.
They referred to them as their characters.
Yes, they're very method on
Jared.
Hey, Milo, Jared called you the N-word. Hey, Jared, Milo doesn't like how your hair looks. Roll the tape.
Why? You know, one of them, I think Milo retweeted Jared the other day. So, you know.
Really?
So listen, guys.
This is like when on Huffington Post, it's like, you'll never guess who joined Instagram today. It's like, okay.
Well, I'm just saying they
Betty,
don't.
Betty, why?
They don't. instant golden gram. They don't hate each other in real life, I think is the point I'm getting at.
That's great. That's cool.
I retweet people I hate all the time.
Dude, you retweeted me.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, let's rate the episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The only thing I found to, I wish there was more Paris and I wish there was less Max. Although I do kind of, now that you bring it up, I do kind of see the theme of like old lovers and wrapping that up.
Everybody.
But yeah, I guess it just, and then like, I'm just get rid of Alex, get rid of Alex. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. Like, and I know he was only mentioned for one line.
They really were just like, we need some things between her and Max.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it a solid 8.5.
Wow.
Out of 10 figurines that Kyle was wrapping and putting in bubble
Boy
wrap.
With toothache.
Boy with, oh, he was so sad.
It is a good episode. I liked everything about this, really. I especially liked the fight. I liked the conflict with Jess and Dean. I didn't actually, the only thing I didn't like is the Max Medina stuff, as you said, just because it felt unnecessary. I didn't care about closure with them. All of the Booster Club stuff, all of Lorelai stuff, even this episode, was just like, ugh. Her stuff with walking in on Luke and Nicole, I was just like, get out of there, get out of there. I know the point is that this should be awkward, but right. I get out of there.
Yeah, it wasn't enjoyable to watch. Oh, and we didn't even talk about all the business with her sending Rory out and what to do with the keys, put them on the belt, but if you take your belt off, don't come home, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, she was, yeah, that was weird. She was like, don't take a purse, put your keys in your belt. If you take off your belt, you're a whore, and I don't want you to come home.
And it's your fault, and blame yourself.
You went upstairs to look for your boyfriend.
Oh, so sad. Again, I really want to emphasize, we're not making fun of the average. We're just saying.
Hashtag yes all women.
Hashtag yes all women. For real. Anyway.
Now, I don't. No, I'm kidding.
Actually, men's rights.
You see, this is the first time I've liked Jess.
Oh. Hitler, what are you doing?
Hello, it's me. I wrote the episode.
I'm a Hitler.
Mein Kampf.
It's Sue Kampf. That's a Megan Amram joke.
Ooh.
Is it?
Mein Kampf is Sue Kampf? Yeah.
It's a good one. Mm-hmm. We should have her on the show.
Yeah, one day.
She'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh, I never even gave my rating. I give it 9 out of 10 oranges.
9 out of 10 oranges.
That cause acid reflux.
Yeah. You know, that's how many oranges
I'm
he
gonna,
ate.
Yeah, more I think about it, I really loved it. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 figurines. I will.
You were just like, Timmy can't like this episode more than
no.
me.
No, you can't.
I'm kidding.
You're allowed. But yeah, I'm going to give it 9.
Wow.
You convinced
me. I agree. This was a great episode, except everything that Lorelai did. But everything else was so good that it kind of like made you not care so much, totally. Right? The stuff with Max was weird. Like, she's a bad person. She's a bad person.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Not great. Does she just want attention? Is that why she's going after her? Like, hey, why aren't you more weird around me? You treat me normally.
Yeah,
he's
because
like, I treat you
broke
with respect.
His heart. Yeah, he was good. She was just. She was bad in this episode.
If I were in her position, I'd be like, I think I fucked up. I get that. Anywho. Just like move on.
Yeah.
Because of the Lorelai stuff is not that great, I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 Michelle Branch CDs. So.
Aww.
But I didn't like it quite as much as
Stars Hollow to Michelle Branch.
Because you're everywhere to me. When I close my eyes, it's you I see. Everything I know that makes me believe I'm not alone.
I'm not alone.
Okay.
What was the other one?
Good. Well, she had a couple hits. She had
I was
good,
confused.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye to you.
That was a good
that
one.
That was hers. I remember that from an episode of Buffy, actually.
Yeah, she was on in the bronze, right? Or no, or is it?
Or it might have just played. I don't
just
remember.
Was there? She had like a couple hits. If you want to, I can save you.
Yeah.
I can take you away from here. No, I'm actually a big Michelle Branch.
You were listening to her on the way here. That'd be amazing.
Oh, you're a Branchy? A tree?
Branch tree?
I had her first two albums. I think she came out with another album, which was really boring recently. Because she got married and had kids. And then she had this song called Loud Music, which sounds like it would be like a real upbeat tempo song. But instead it was like the slowest, most boring song in the world.
That's
it was
funny.
Like a weird... You got to edit this Michelle Branch stuff out.
No.
Well, she's our next guest.
We're keeping it all in, man. All in, baby. Now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. Oh. Ben, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at BenjaminJS.
Okay. I'm at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. To me.
I'm at Electra Lemon everywhere. Also.
As dirty.
Well.
Dirty.
It is a dirty name.
Dirty.
It's lemons, you know?
Oh, you don't even need to say it, right, man. Oh, we get it.
It's a little PG-13.
All right, Ben, thank you for coming back. I'm glad we gave you a good episode this time.
I was excited.
You can follow the show.
We forgot to do that. You know, I think we actually did forget to do that last time. Now we're going to have less followers.
It's fine.
You can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. You can email us, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com for our Gil Mail Guys episodes. We need to do one. We haven't done one in a bit.
Yeah, we'll do one.
Or an email-y Gil Mail.
Email-y Gil Mail.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, do you do like little mini episodes that are just nothing but mail?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah, they're fun. You should join us for one. And just go through it and make fun of our fans.
Oh, no.
We don't make fun of our
fans.
This
one sounds like a real piece of work. JK Rowling. All right. You know what to do. Here we go. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. Aw, hell yeah.
Is this even it?
Turn it. Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just the beginning. Turn it inside out so I can see the part of you that's drifting over me. And when I wake up, you're never there. And when I sleep, you're everywhere. You're everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It always takes longer to get to the chorus than you think.
But it's worth it.
Now I got this far.
Oh, yeah.
And who you are.
Me by my love,
you're never there. And every time I sleep, you're always there.
That's gross.
Cause you're everywhere to me. And when I close my eyes, it's you I see. Everything I know that makes me believe I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
That's like Clay Aiken's song Invisible, where he's like, I'm in your room. It's pretty much the same thing.
We're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name, and I'll be
everywhere.
The next trip, where you lead. I will follow.
You're everywhere to me.
Everywhere. That's your next.
And when I close my eyes,
you need me to be with you. I will follow. Oh, oh, oh. Where you lead.
Sending an olive branch over
everywhere to me.
Anywhere.
Kevin made that pun and then immediately made he put tongues out and like made his eyes wide for like a split second.
That was disturbing.
Guys. That was a great mashup.
I bothered myself with that one. I'm so sorry.
Like they would have done that in an episode.
If you're everywhere to me,
where you
I
lead,
like
I follow.
That song.
Bye.
Goodbye.